All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom Arquino, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. How are you? It is June the 28th, 2021, Monday. My favorite day of the week, Mondays. So, first of all, I want to make an apology. I have an apology. I listened to that other podcast that I did the other day. For some stupid reason, I was eating these dumb blueberries that a client had left for me the day before. And I stopped by the salon, and I was like, oh, my God, these blueberries were so good. And I brought them over, and I was just, like, eating them. So I apologize. It was a little stupid. Please forgive me. I hope it was not too annoying. I listened for a second. I was like, oh, that's annoying. So, but anyway, we'll live and learn. No more blueberries on the podcast. So it is Monday. Like I said, my favorite day. It is, today is, you know, kind of my day off, so to speak. Very busy for a day off, but it is sort of my day off. But I'm busy. I'm doing two podcasts today. I'm doing one. It's pretty funny. I'm doing one with a guy who is interesting, right? He called me. He's really into this, the mushrooms, the MDA, the psilocybins, these, you know, this is kind of this new trend that's kind of going around right now about, you know, microdosing with psilocybin and really experimenting, exploring these hallucinogenic drugs, all natural hallucinogenic drugs, to help with people with post-traumatic stress disorder and anxiety and whatever. And apparently you can, and there are folks that are microdosing with this stuff, and I'm assuming that microdosing means just a micro bit, a little bit, you know, but every day, and it will help you with some issues. I'm like, okay, I'm in. I want to hear what this guy has to say. And it was kind of crazy, though, because the guy, he's like, I need to get to Joe Rogan. I'm like, well, you know, I don't have any, obviously, connection to Joe Rogan. I love Joe Rogan, but I don't text Joe Rogan. I don't comment on Joe Rogan's podcast. I don't know anything about Joe Rogan. I just love his podcast. This guy's like, I need to get to him. And I go, well, I can't help you there, but I do think that if you, I said to him, I said, listen, I think if you want to present something, I think if you want to do a podcast and it sounds good, if you would like to send that to Joe Rogan, maybe that might be a route. I have no idea. You know, it's not my goal in life is to meet or be on Joe Rogan's podcast, but this guy is definitely determined. I said, well, listen, let's schedule it. We'll do it on Monday, and we'll see how it goes. He goes, all right, I'll schedule it, but if I get to Joe Rogan before Monday, I'm not going to make it. I was like, okay. Then he called me the other day. He's like, I'll be there on Monday. I was like, all right. I go, honestly, if you've reached out and somehow communicated to Joe Rogan by Monday, you know, you're probably either in jail or definitely being watched by the cops. Because I'm assured that everybody comes out of the woodwork to try to be on Joe Rogan's podcast. So, but he's coming in today, and so, you know, I'll fill you all in, let you know how that goes. I'm not even sure where we're going to post that. I think I'll put it on the Are You Spirited podcast, but then I'm doing a podcast with a guy from the UK, a trainer, health and fitness. Excuse me, my God, a little early, I guess. Health and fitness, and just talking about, you know, middle-aged men. That would be me. And I've talked about on this podcast this my struggle with food and understanding how food works in my life. And you know, I want to talk to him about, you know, just maybe even making sure that I have the right goals for me. You know, if I was to take a you know, hard look at myself, I'm not that bad. You know, maybe lose 10 pounds. Do I need to? I don't know. There's a balance between my youth and my pride and my ego and the reality of being, you know, a 52-year-old man, or what should be my expectations be? And, you know, I see, you know, if you have Instagram or any social media platform, you'll see these old fit guys, you know, with the gray hair, look like, you know, pop up, but all ripped and drinking special drinks. And, you know, and I'm like, do I want that? You know, my ego does, but reality is, you know, maybe I need to lighten up on myself. So it'll be good to chat with him. You know, I did this, or I was watching, and speaking of Joe Rogan, I was watching Joe Rogan's podcast last night, and I'm a huge fan. If you haven't seen Joe Rogan's podcast, go check it out. I mean, he is fucking great. Not every time, right? You know, not, I mean, I probably, Joe Rogan's podcast, out of 10 of them, I probably like 5. The other 5 I could probably do without. But he had this guy on last night, and the guy's name is Clay Newcomb. He says, Clay Newcomb is a 7th-generation Arkansan that grew up in the Okeechobee Mountains. He's a hunter, mule skinner, curious naturalist, and observer of rural culture. He's also a writer, filmmaker, owner, publisher of Bear Hunting Magazine, and the host of the hit Meat Eater podcast, Bear Grease. This fucking guy, man, was just, he was special, man. And I see people like this, and, you know, they living in Arkansas and being a big hunter and living off the land. And the podcast is called Bear Grease because back in the day, man, bear grease, which is, you know, rendered bear fat, was like, a trading commodity. It had value. You know, you could cook with it. You could bake with it. You could do all these great things with this bear grease. And the whole podcast is basically on hunting bear. And I have a client that goes out to Pennsylvania and hunts bear. And this guy was talking about these blueberry bears where they just forage on blueberries all spring. And when you shoot them, you know, when you clean them and you know, break them down, the fat is purple because they're so, you know, just been so juiced up on blueberries. And apparently bear meat's very good and stuff. But this, I don't know, man. I love these guys that like to keep, you know, the old traditions, you know, going on, you know, how to hunt. And you know, we've become so... Life's become such a convenience, and it's like this weird wired thing in us that we just want to make, you know, you have one thing and some guy wants to invent a better version of it. We just want life to be easier and easier and easier. And in this podcast, and he does this other podcast called Bear Grease, and there's one in there and it's called The Death of a Bear Hunter. And I started listening to it and I was fucking like, oh my God, man. What a great freaking podcast. Go check it out. Bear Grease, The Death of a Bear Hunter. And it's about the story about this guy. And I only listened to a couple minutes because I was in the car and I got home. I think I'm going to run today, this afternoon, and I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to go run just so I can listen to this podcast. But it's a story about back in the day about hunting bear, and they used to use dogs. And in the story, I guess either the guy or his friend gets killed. The bear attacks, kills the dog, some dogs, kills his buddy. The guy ends up killing the bear. It's just a fucking crazy story, you know, but it talks about back in those days, you know. And as much as I wouldn't want to live back then, because it was tough, you know, no running water, no fire, you know, you had fire, but you didn't have electricity, disease. Just all these crazy things that took place back in those days. And when you hear a guy like that share the story about it, you're like, shit, I wish I was living back then, you know. But the reality is I don't. But I wish I had that spirit. I wish I had that drive. I wish I had that fearless drive to take on the land. And you know, this guy was telling Joe that it was a typical back then for... On a bear hunt, usually you had a one-shot musket, right? And I'm not a gun guy. I'm not a hunter. If I fuck this up, you know, just bear with me. Just the story is that, you know, you would carry a musket and you used to have one shot. And then, you know, once you shot that shot, you could reload it. But unfortunately, a lot of times when you're hunting or dealing with a bear, you don't have that time, right? So what would typically go down is they would go out on the hunt with these dogs. And the dogs usually forced a, you know, a older bear, not too old, but an older bear. They usually, the way the bear would escape is would climb a tree, and then the hunters would show up and shoot the bear out of the tree. And but sometimes, you know, on a big old bear, they didn't climb. And they would kind of get the dogs would get the bear cornered, and then the hunters would usually get off one shot. And then they would have to basically throw down their gun, pull out their Bowie knife, which was a 12-inch freaking knife with like a serrated top. You know, it's like that Rambo knife. And they would fucking run in and finish the bear off by hand. I'm like, holy shit. Nobody's doing that these days. Nobody's finishing off a bear with a fucking Bowie knife. You know, but like Daniel Boone and all those guys. Just, you know, when the West was, when the frontiermen were just getting here. And I don't know. I'm fucking this whole story up. But go check it out. It was amazing. But my question, you know, what happens to me is I feel a little bit bad about myself when I watch one of these kind of podcasts or listen to this kind of story because, you know, I get up and I rifle out of the drawer some ham that's pre-cut, you know, at the grocery store on some pre-cut bread. You know, I didn't create our system. It's just I'm part of it. And then I feel bad because I don't hunt. And, you know, so, but yeah, you know, trying to find the balance, you know, of course we don't want to live like, you know, without electricity and stuff. But do we want to live like where we're headed? And a lot of us are pretty, of course we do. You know, I love electricity and I do. But it's just trying to find the balance in there. And I feel, you know, through the election and through the pandemic and, you know, we used to have a kind of a lower class, you know, a middle class and an upper class. And, you know, when you're young, you're lower class. And I don't mean class, but just financially, you know, you're getting started. You know, you don't really got much money. You're learning how to manage money. You're starting to, you know, whether you're just getting a savings account, but you're just learning how, you know, hopefully to deal with money. And then the middle class used to be a place where, you know, you still were reminded that a lot of the great things that come to us were privileges. You know, they were luxuries. You know, back in the day in the 60s and 70s, 40s, 50s, I don't know. But I know I remember as a kid, I remember going on a plane ride to, we flew back here to Delaware. In fact, we lived in New Mexico and it was, we wanted to come back here and see my grandparents. I hadn't seen them in a long time. It was a big deal, right? You know, my dad and mom had talked about it. We saved up for a couple of years and we finally got to that place and, you know, it was the big deal and we were going to go on an airplane and we dressed up and you know, we had all of our stuff and we were well behaved and, you know, there was no fights on the airplane. You could still smoke on the plane. I do remember that. But it was a big deal. But over time and over the years, you know, these things have now, like everything in life, we just, you know, want it easier and faster and better and cheaper. And so, you know, through the last 40 years, I should say, we've slowly done that. And the middle class has slowly disappeared. And you know, I was telling my wife, you know, I don't know where you live, but a lot of the doctors, like my doctor, my doctor that I've had for so many years, he now went to this thing called VIP. And VIP is this thing where it's like an a la carte doctor. You pay, I think it's $1,800 a month, or no, $1,800 for the year. Excuse me, I'm going to have to call my doctor. Jeez. You pay $1,800 for the year, and he's basically at your beckoning call, right? There was another doctor that started doing this a little while back. He was one of the first ones, And my buddy Matt actually was paid the money. Matt had the money. Matt was well off, right? He could afford that. That was a luxury for the upper class. And we're like, well, that's great for you rich people, but us normal people, us whatever, we can still go have a doctor. Well, that's all starting to change because now, like, my doctor sent me a letter. He's like, I'm going to this VIP. If you want to join me, it's going to be $1,800 for the year. If not, have a nice day. I'm like, fuck, man. What the fuck? So now he's not my doctor. So now there's the next separation, right? Now to have a doctor like the doctor I used to have is a luxury. It's cost me money. Cost me extra money to have him. It cost me $1,800 a year is what it costs. So now to have that doctor, I am now out of the class of people to have him. And it's fine. You know, I don't have any a lot of medical problems. I'm not on any prescriptions or anything. So, you know, I used to just have basically my physical once a year. You know, but I'm 52. I'm sure my life is going to start coming to a point where medicine starts coming into it. But the point of it is that, you know, now having that doctor is a luxury. With all the shit that went on, now we have inflation showing up. Little restaurant next door that I used to try to go to a couple times, three times a week, they raised all their prices. Everything, $10 for a breakfast sandwich. Are you fucking kidding me? $10? It's actually $9 for a breakfast sandwich, and if you want it on a bagel, it's an additional 75 cents. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, I could see, you know, there's a sandwich place that's local sandwich place. You know, my kids weren't with me. The boys weren't with us for Father's Day. So when the boys came back, or Sam wasn't with us. David was. But when Sam came back, I took both the boys out for, a sub, $35 for three sandwiches. I'm like, are you kidding me? So now eating out, eating sandwiches, eating next door, they've all now become a luxury. And I'm not eating next door anymore. And I'm not going to go to get those subs because it's not that I can't afford it. It's just I have to think about it now. Now it's a thing. And I'm not paying that much money. So now what are we doing? We're bringing the middle class back. Buying lunch meat, buying bread, you know, making sandwiches. I made my wife this morning a roast beef sandwich. I bought, for $10, I bought a pound of this amazing roast beef, right? Made her this great sandwich, and she'll eat it. That will save us, you know, usually my wife would go, and of course we go and eat shitty food. That's the other thing. So she'd probably go to Arby's or something for lunch. I made her this great sandwich. I said, we're bringing this middle class back. And to me, the middle class is people that are saving money. You know, working, managing ourselves, but now we are in save money mode. And not that we have some goal to do with the money. We're just not wasting it on fucking bullshit luxuries that 2 weeks ago were, you know, almost in reach. And, you know, but I think this is I think we should all be doing this. We need to bring back the middle class because the separation between the classes, unfortunately, that there are classes, but the separation is becoming wider and wider. And I don't know where you live, but where we live, it is bizarre. You know, I took the kids over to Walmart because I wanted to buy this squeezy ball for them that they had their minds all obsessed on. Went in there. They didn't have shit on the shelves. The guy's like, yeah, we can't. It's all in the back room. We can't get it out here. We can't get anybody to work. Walmart just raised their minimum wage to now, or their starting pay at $15 an hour, $15 an hour. It should be $20, Walmart. Fucking assholes. Make too much damn money. You know, and we're seeing, you know, and I've always just thought, hey, this is just how it is, you know? It's like being in a relationship that's kind of abusive. You're like, eh, we have our ups and downs. It's good and bad. But the bad is really bad, and the ups are not as up as I thought. And that's kind of how I feel about the class that we've been living in. And, you know, we're like I said, we work. We both have jobs. We work great. We make decent money, and we just get by. Right? You know, and I think people are starting to freaking start thinking about this more. They're like, what is the point? And it's a good point. What is the point? I'm not working my ass off to buy fucking $10 sub sandwiches because, you know, and I think the biggest challenge I think is going to be for these people is that they're going to start having to cut into their profits. And nobody likes that. Nobody likes cutting into their profits.
Loneliness and all, I was stuck to the spot without a friend, alone again. And I hunger and I thirst for some shiver, for some whispered word, promise to come. And you saw me low, alone again. Didn't they say that all
Sons. What a great song. Yeah, I guess what, you know, the point of this really is this decision that I've made, my wife and I have made, that we are ready to try to bring back, at least for us, a middle class. And that, for us, is just somebody that tries to be a little bit more thoughtful in our purchases, thoughtful in our spending, ways that we can get back to just cooking. You know, I know cooking's a pain in the ass. Fucking believe me, I do it. I'm the cooker of the house. The cooker of the house. I'm the chef, right? This morning we had, and I fucking love it. Never, please never get me wrong. I love to fucking cook. I'm not a chef. I'm not a cook. I cook for our family, and that's what I love. And like this morning, my son, you know, on a Monday morning, we get very busy at our house. My son's friend, Alex, spent the night. They were making music. They were making an album. That's what they said. I said, sounds good. So they were working on music last night, and I don't know what time they went to bed. I got up this morning. Alex was on the couch sleeping with my son's, like, baby blanket. I'm like, I told my wife, I go, we should probably buy some blankets. Like, if somebody spends the night, that we have, like, a blanket to give them. But Alex was on the couch. Teresa was up. Sam was up. David was up. David and Alex were going with Alex's mom on the ferry this morning over to Cape May. Teresa's going with Grandma. Sam's going with Eric. So it was just a whole busy morning, and I'm freaking cooking eggs. I'm like, what do you want for breakfast? You know, Alex, and believe me, if someone wants some food, I love it. I jump into action. Boing! And, you know, I got Alex cook some eggs and some, you know, pancakes. And, you know, we could have... A year ago, 2 years ago, we would have been like, let's get in the car, we'll go down to Wawa, we'll get breakfast sandwiches and that kind of shit. But let me do a quick reading because my time is starting to fade here. Yeah, we would have brought breakfast sandwiches, but this morning I cooked it all and it was fucking perfect. It was perfect. Let's see, daily reflections. Oh, man, busy day today. Let's see. I'll keep you guys posted on this MDA and psilocybin mushroom stuff. All right, June 28th, determination of our founders. A year and 6 months later, these three had succeeded with seven more. A year and 6 months later, these three had succeeded with seven more. Alcoholics Anonymous. If it had not been for the fierce determination of our founders, AA would have quickly faded like so many other so-called good causes. I look at the hundreds of meetings weekly in the city where I live and know AA is available 24 hours a day. If I had to hang on with nothing but hope and desire not to drink, experiencing rejection whenever I went, wherever I went, I would have sought the easier, softer way and returned to my previous way of life. I'm going to read that one more time because I don't know. That seems to go in one eye and out the other. If it had not been for the fierce determination of our founders, AA would have quickly faded like so many other so-called good causes. I look at the hundreds of meetings weekly in the city where I live, and I know AA is available 24 hours a day. If I had to hang on with nothing but hope and the desire not to drink, experiencing rejection wherever I went, I would have sought the easier, softer way and returned to my previous way of life. Yeah. I mean, we are blessed. And honestly, I don't know when this was written, but I know even like today, I mean, we have so many meetings. We have so many meetings. You know, if you want to get sober, you know, it's all, you feel lucky because there's tons of meetings, tons of people that want to help. And it wasn't always like that. And we are lucky because, you know, principles over personalities is such a freaking great rule. And I've seen so many other little, and I just talked about the other day, like the VA that my dad's involved in, you know, that one is personalities over principles. You know, who can huff and puff the loudest and get nothing done? And, you know, that's why principles over personality requires humility and thought, thinking it through. And, it's a great, great program. Super blessed to even be involved. Yeah, so check out that podcast, you know, Bear Grease. And it turns out Bear Grease, like I said in the beginning, it was a freaking giant commodity back in those days. I mean, you traded it. And that's, you know, I'm interested to talk about with this nutritionist today because, you know, fat is fuel. And we've become so obsessed with getting rid of fat out of our food and leaning our food out because we drink too much. We eat too many fucking cookies and we want to blame it on meat. And, you know, it's chaotic. And, so check out that podcast and, check out, he's on Joe Rogan's podcast last night. It was fucking great, man. I just love the old stories, the frontier days and the Davy Crockett's and, you know, Daniel Boone and just, what life was like way back then. And, you know, I don't know, just awesome. All right, I hope everybody has a great day, and we will catch you later.